We were supposed to do this ordination back in November, and it just seemed like one preacher after another preacher wasn't going to be able to be here. And so we put it off, and I said, well, we'll get through Christmas because it gets crazy at that point. And I said, we'll just wait till spring and we'll figure it out. And early in the year, Dr. Shetler gave me a call. So I'm going to be in the area here. We'd like to do a family conference, and I was tickled to death to be able to have him here. Then I got to thinking, well, wait a minute, we could probably do Nathan's ordination. We tried to get Dr. Chappell in here, but he's such a busy man, and he even thought about it. He really tried. He wanted to do it, but wasn't going to be able to, just couldn't fit it in his schedule. But we thought, well, we can get Brother Jim to be here. It would be a real blessing, and so we're just honored to have you with us, and thank you for coming and sharing your time, and I know this means an awful lot to Nathan.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Well, we've had a great weekend at Lighthouse, and I do really mean that. And I want to thank all of you that have been here all weekend. And for me, it started by speaking in the two chapels on Friday. I enjoyed speaking to the senior high and then also to the elementary school. We talked about Bartimaeus. We had a great time. And then Friday night, we just had just a special time with your family, your church family, your husbands and wives, and then Saturday on parenting, and we've just kind of been going. The ordination was such a blessing, and for many reasons, I'm going to talk about a few tonight. But this is a big day for a lot of people and a lot of entities, and I want to talk to you a little bit about that. I believe in the life of a Christian, there's three kind of days. I think there are building days. There's things that happened, and God's building you. And there's some days you just feel like, boy, God, you're really working on me today, aren't you? There's building days. And then there's some days that are battling days, aren't there? You just sense, man, I feel like I'm really battling it. It just, I don't know if I'm battling myself, I'm battling the world, the flesh, the devil, but I just feel like it's been a battling day. I just feel all day long I've been attacked. There's building days. There's battling days. Now, you don't get a lot of these, but there's also banner days. There's certain days that God gives you to just stop and rejoice and celebrate. This is a banner day for a lot of folks here. This is a banner day for your church. This is a banner day for the cause of Christ. This is a banner day for the Walsh family as well. And I want to take just a moment. He didn't ask me to say this or anything like this. I kind of thought this is where I wanted you to speak first, to see if he was going to do this or not. He did not, so I'm going to. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I think we have a very special, fulfilled, I don't have to call it a prophecy, but a fulfillment of the scriptures tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, as we're turning, I'm going to talk about a father and a son. But before I do that, I want to share with you a little personal testimony that this is a banner day for me as well. 6.5 years ago, I made a big decision. I made a decision to step out of the pastorate. And I think that was a very big decision. First of all, I have a wife that believed that she's been called to be a pastor's wife. I still think she is a pastor's wife. I think she serves as a model of a pastor's wife to college students, and I think I still am pastoring college students, so I think she still is a pastor's wife. But it was a big thing for her, and it was a big thing for me. I had pastored for 25 years. 7 years before that, I was a youth pastor, and I made a decision. I believe that God was calling me to train the next generation of champions, of laborers for Christ. And tonight, to be a part of Nathan's ordination service is pretty special to me. Because you know what? This is what we left the pastorate for, is to train the next generation of preachers for the cause of Christ. So for me, it's a banner night for Marilee and I to be here, to be able to see what we've done at West Coast and to be able to see it in action. But I'm going to tell you, it's a banner night for the Walsh family tonight. Would you look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 for just a moment? And I'd like to have you look at verse number 1. Thou therefore, my son. That's your boy down there, isn't it? Now, when Paul wrote this to Timothy, he was talking about his spiritual son. I think in many ways, that's your spiritual son down there, Paul. But I think it's also his physical son as well. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, I want everyone to take a moment and look at verse 2. Because this is what I believe at this point of my life. This is what I've given my life to, and I believe your pastor has done this with many in here, and I think specifically to his son. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. Nathan, aren't you glad you have a dad that can be a model for you in ministry? I mean, you know what? A lot of boys don't have a father that they could say, you know what, I want to be in ministry what my dad is. And you do, Nathan. And for that, it's a banner day for you as well. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Well, I don't take really any credit at all. But if I've had any influence in your life, I'm really thankful, and I'm going to tell you why. Because I think you're one of the faithful men that we're supposed to invest in. And I want to thank you for your testimony in your life. But Dad, thank you for doing 2 Timothy 2:2 with your son, and literally your son as well. And is he able to teach others also? Man, he really is. And he's a faithful man. You poured your life into him. This is a banner day for you. But this is a banner day for Lighthouse. Take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 9. Turn to Matthew chapter 9. As you're turning to Matthew 9, let me just review a couple things this morning because I'm going to use it right now. First of all, help me out. What's the most important word in the entire Bible on prayer? Importunity. All right. All right, let's see how well you do. Never let your prayers be, number one, hazy. Never let your prayers be, and never let your prayers be. Oh, they did good, Pastor. They did good. All right. Well, guess what we got tonight? We have tonight an answer to somebody's prayer. Can I tell you whose? Jesus. When Jesus was on this earth, he only had one prayer request. Matthew chapter 9, verse 38 is the one prayer request that Jesus had. And I believe this. For the kingdom of God, I believe this is a banner night. Look at Matthew chapter 9 and verse 38. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I believe God answered that prayer, don't you? I believe Nathan is one of those answers to the prayer as a laborer. Now, I personally believe we all ought to be laborers. I personally believe men and women alike ought to be in the harvest field. But I'm thankful that your church has produced a laborer for the harvest. Lighthouse, you get what you honor. Tonight, we're honoring a young man going into the ministry. That is a great... How many churches in America today that run hundreds are producing no laborers for the field? Thank God that Lighthouse Baptist Church is putting out another laborer. And by the way, we talked about prayer this morning. Don't pray hazy, crazy, or lazy. You know what you ought to start praying, church? You ought to start praying that more preachers come out of this church. You ought to pray that more missionaries come out of this church. You ought to pray more Christian school teachers come out of this church. This is a very specific prayer and one that Christ asked us to produce. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he had sent forth laborers. I think this is a banner day, and I think it's a banner day for the kingdom of Christ as well. Now, the message tonight, in a sense, is directed towards Nathan. However, I do believe that all of us can glean from it tonight. We're going to look at several passages of Scripture. Nathan had us going all over the Bible yesterday in his answers, so I'm going to have him go all over the Bible tonight, all right? So take your Bibles tonight, and we're going to begin in 1 Timothy chapter number 4. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. Tonight, Nathan, I would like to talk about three things. Your greatest concern, your greatest love, and your greatest enemy. And I want to challenge you, and I want to charge you in these three areas. Your greatest concern in ministry, your greatest love in ministry, and your greatest enemy in ministry. And I want to begin by talking about your greatest concern, your personal walk with the Lord. You know what I've learned in ministry after 40 years? If you take care of yourself, it's amazing what God will do for you in ministry. I believe that your private life makes you qualified for public ministry. If you don't have it in the backstage, you're not going to be able to do it on the front stage. And you got to have that private life. Your greatest concern. You know what? God will take care of a lot of things in ministry for you if you take care of your greatest concern, and that's your personal walk with the Lord. Let's read 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, then we'll begin with a word of prayer. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, doing what? Taking heed to yourself, Nathan, and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Wow. Take care of yourself. And if you take heed to yourself, I'll take heed to your ministry. I'll bless your ministry if you take heed to yourself. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, may my brother in this church tonight understand the greatest concern we ought to have, the greatest love we ought to have, and be very wary of our greatest enemy. Lord, I pray tonight that Nathan, this would be a banner night tonight. I think this is a big night for Lighthouse. I think it's a big night for the Walsh family. I think it's a big night for the kingdom of Christ. I think, Lord, when we just take a moment and stop and thank God for calling a man into the ministry and to be ordained into the preaching. Father, Lighthouse Baptist Church does not ordain Nathan. You did that. But Lighthouse Baptist Church tonight recognizes what you've already done. And Lord, tonight, what a joy it's been as a guest and a visitor to see what you're doing at Lighthouse Baptist Church. And Lord, I pray publicly in Jesus' name that there will be more ministers, more servants of Christ, more missionaries, more preachers, more evangelists, more Christian school teachers, and more laborers for the harvest that will come out of Lighthouse Baptist Church. And Father, may we hear in the years to come that church, that Lighthouse, they just keep reproducing itself. And they keep putting out young men and young women as laborers to the harvest. God, I pray you sober my brother tonight, but also let him rejoice in the Lord. May all of us join together. We're all part of this. Father, if they're a member of Lighthouse Baptist Church, they're a part of this banner night tonight. I pray, Father, we would all take heed to ourselves and work in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. First thing I want you to see is your greatest concern is your personal walk and your personal family. Nathan, that time alone with the Lord, those things that you do to protect your mind and your thought life and your relationship to that young lady, and God gave you a blessing. God gave you a helpmeet. God gave you a young lady that wanted so badly to be in the ministry. God gave you something really special, and I want to encourage you. Take heed to your personal life and to your private life. Now, Nathan took a class that I taught in college called Joshua class. I'm going to put you on the spot, but trust me, you're not going to hurt my feelings. You don't remember at all what my favorite verse in Joshua was, do you? It's okay. It really is okay. Take your Bibles and turn to Joshua. You think you know it? No, I don't think you. What? Pardon? It is. Levi? Whoa, Joshua. Nathan, you're the man. I tell you what. Now, I got to tell you, that's pretty impressive. You probably haven't taken that class in 3-4 years. All right, my favorite book in the, I'm having a hard time talking. My favorite verse in the book of Joshua really isn't that important of a verse to deal with the book. But take your Bibles and turn to Joshua chapter 13, if you would. Joshua chapter 13. Now, whenever you study the book of Joshua, it's all about the excitement of the first 10 chapters. I mean, the first 10 chapters is all the exciting parts. The sun stands still, the walls come tumbling down. You got Ai, you got them crossing the Jordan River. And if anyone ever studies the book of Joshua, it's the first 10 chapters that are really exciting. It's them overcoming the land. Well, then, basically the rest of the book, starting about in chapter 12 and 13, is occupying the land. It's not nearly as exciting occupying the land as it is overcoming the land. But most of our Christian life is more occupying than overcoming. And in Joshua chapter 13, something happens. Now, I know it didn't happen exactly like this, but for sake of illustration, just join with me, okay? So in Joshua chapter 12 and 13, all of the tribes are getting their inheritance. They're all getting their portion of land in the promised land. By the way, you guys ready? Everyone together, how many tribes are there? Yeah, no, that's not right. Nathan, how many tribes are there? 13. There's 13 tribes because you remember Joseph had two sons. There's not a tribe of Joseph, but there's a tribe of Ephraim and Manasseh. Yeah, but Brother Shetler, when they came across the Jordan River, they put 12 stones up. That's right. One tribe got cheated out. One tribe didn't get to put a stone down. And there's also a tribe that didn't get a piece of property. There was only 12 sections of land. But you say there's 13 tribes. Oh, yeah, there's 13 tribes. So picture with me. It didn't happen this way, but just humor me with for a moment, okay? Joshua is dividing up all the property. Naphtali! Naphtali comes forward. Naphtali, your property will be in the central part by the mountains of Judea in this area over there. And Naphtali goes off to their property. And then he begins to go through each group, you know. Reuben, Gad, the half-tribe of Manasseh, you will be on the other side in the Golan Heights, and your property will be on the other side of the Jordan, like the deal you made with Moses. Well, that takes care of the eastern part. Dan, Asher, you'll be in the northern. That takes care of the northern part. Then, you know, Judah, Benjamin, you'll be around Jerusalem, and that takes care of the central part and the western part. Simeon and some of the others, you're in the south. Well, there's one tribe sitting there. Well, that takes care of the north. Well, there's no more land in the west. Well, that takes care of the east. Oh, there's the south. Will you get to give us the Dead Sea? What do we get, the Mediterranean? There's one tribe. There's no property left. Look at Joshua chapter 13. Nathan, I want you to get this tonight because you're going in the ministry. Now, I'm not here to down any other occupation. Praise God for doctors. Thank God for engineers. We praise the Lord for pilots. I'm thankful for educators. I thank God for those that work in law enforcement. Praise God for the military. But Nathan, you don't get an inheritance like an engineer or a doctor. Your inheritance is something different in the ministry. In Joshua chapter 13, There's one tribe. By the way, do you all know what tribe it is? Good job. The tribe of Levi. The tribe of Levi didn't get a piece of property. Look at what their inheritance is. And Nathan, your greatest concern has got to be your personal walk with the Lord. Because your inheritance is not of this world. Look what your inheritance is. Joshua chapter 13 and verse 33. But unto the tribe of Levi, Moses gave not an inheritance. Nathan, never forget this. The Lord God of Israel was their inheritance, as he said unto them. That's my favorite verse in the book of Joshua. It isn't that important of a verse in the book. But to someone that surrendered to the call of God to preach, can I tell you what my reward is? Can I tell you what your inheritance is, Nathan? Your inheritance isn't big houses and lots of cars. Your inheritance isn't pieces of property and houses. Your inheritance is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you, Nathan, your relationship with him should be your greatest concern in ministry. That you walk hand in hand with him. And then I put down two things, your personal walk with the Lord and your personal life with your family. You know what? I don't know what the Lord's plan is. We don't know when he's going to come back. But it's very possible that he's going to give you children. And let me tell you, your wife and your children need to become your greatest concern. I don't believe it's going to be your only concern in ministry. But I do believe it's a very important concern. This past week, we studied on the family and the husband and the wife relationship. Your personal walk with the Lord and your personal family, I will tell you, should be your greatest concern. Take heed to yourself, and it'll be amazing what the Lord will do. Number two, your greatest love. Your greatest concern is your personal walk with the Lord. Your greatest love is your preaching. And I know that you believe that. And I know you have a heart for preaching. And I want to talk to you a little bit about it. There's two things I want to talk to you about your preaching. Number one, Nathan, taste it before serving it. Taste it before serving it. I think a lot of preachers get up and preach, and they've never experienced what they're giving out to the people. I'll tell you what changes a person's preaching. I think the greatest preachers I've heard over the years have been missionaries. Not that they're homiletically great or their delivery is super. But those missionaries get up, they open up a passage of scripture that they've tasted on the mission field. And it's just like, wow, I've never seen that in that passage before. Because they taste it before serving it. Years ago when I was down in Pensacola, I was pastoring down at the campus church. It was late in an afternoon and it was about 4 o'clock, 4:30, 4:45 or so. And I left my office, and I came down from the fourth floor of the administration building, and I got off the elevator, and there was really nobody around. There was an information desk, and there was a young man behind that, and I was walking by the information desk, and I said hello to him. And then from my right, out of what was called the Culinary Arts Lab, I don't even think it exists anymore, but they had this culinary, otherwise known as Home Ec, and out of the Culinary Arts Lab, was a young lady. She came walking out. She didn't see me. She came walking out, and she had a paper plate in her hand. And on the paper plate, as I was kind of walking up to her, and on the paper plate, I noticed there was a mound of cookies. I mean, she had a whole plate of cookies. I'm thinking, well, she must have just baked those cookies, you know. So I kind of walk up to her real quick. I am not asking for a cookie, okay? I just want to talk to her a little bit. So I come walking up, and I said, hey, what you got there? And she looks up, oh, Pastor Scheller. And I said, yeah, what you got there? And as soon as I said those words, she got real skittish. Like I felt like she thought I was going to steal them from her. And she said, oh, they're cookies. And I said, well, what kind of cookies you got? Chocolate chip. And I went like, you know, and I could tell, like, okay, this girl's thinking I'm going to steal her cookies, you know. I didn't think much about it. And I said, well, God, I hope they're good. And I went on my way. Next morning, I had a couple visits I had to make at the hospital. I got in around 9 o'clock in the morning. I walked in my office, and when I walked in my office, there was a plate on my desk. And on that plate was cookies. And on top of the cookies, there was a little note. Now, I have to tell you guys something. I didn't look at that and say, praise God, that girl got right with God. I didn't even think about that girl. And I went over, and I took that little note, and I opened it up. And it said, Dear Pastor Shetler, I'm the girl that had the cookies yesterday that you said hi to. I have never made mint chocolate chip cookies before, and I didn't know how well they were going to taste. I was scared to death that you were going to ask me for one, and I didn't know if they were good. I tasted them. They were pretty good. Hope you enjoy. And the girl signed her name. I took that note. I went around my desk, and I went over to my couch. I put the note on the couch, and I knelt down, and I prayed, Dear God, if a girl won't give me a cookie until she's tasted it, would to God I never give out the word that I haven't tasted it first. Nathan, I want to tell you something. You have an incredible mind. You are extremely smart. And let me tell you something, Nathan. You will be able to put together messages that are very sound doctrinally. But I will tell you this. If you want the power of God in your ministry, taste them before you preach them. Make sure. I heard a lot of things about your Sunday school class. And a lot of people love your teaching. In the years to come, it will be easy to rely on this instead of having tasted it here and in your life. Nathan, I encourage you, your greatest love will be preaching, but taste it before serving it. And then I will tell you one other thing. Have a passion before a polish. You know what? I think polish is important. I think we ought to do things excellently. I think there ought to be whatever we do for Christ ought to have an excellency to it. But there's something that marks West Coast, and I think you would agree. People ask many times, what is it about the students at West Coast that's different? I believe the thing that's different about the students at West Coast than everything I've been with college students before is passion. There's something in the students. There's a passion. Now, I think you actually get that from our faculty and staff. I think you have a very passionate faculty and staff that pours into you. But at West Coast Baptist College, there is a passion to serve the Lord. It isn't like, okay, I think maybe I'll do this. This sounds kind of cool. There's a no, I'm there. Almost all of our students work to get through college. And the reason why they do that is their passion. And I want to tell you something. Nathan, you're in a ministry that does things very excellent here. Everything around, the facilities are beautiful. I sense from your mom and dad a real polish and an excellency. But I'll tell you what else I sense from your dad. It's passion. Don't lose the passion for the polish. And make sure in your preaching that there is something that's burning in your heart for other people. Passion before polish, and taste it before serving it. And then the last thing I want to talk to you about tonight, Nathan, is your greatest enemy. And your greatest enemy, your greatest concern is your personal walk. Your greatest love is your preaching. And your greatest enemy is your pride. I want to tell you something. Satan, I'm not worried about nearly as much as I'm worried about your flesh. I do want to stand here and tell you this, Lighthouse Baptist Church. I do not know the number, so I'm afraid to say a number. But from what I can gather in my mind, I do believe I have been a part of, I believe, at least 30 ordination councils. I have had the privilege to sit on ordination councils of some men tonight that are pastoring churches of hundreds and even a few that are pastoring churches of thousands. I have been on, I believe, over 30 ordination councils. And I say this so carefully because of the point I'm going to give. I have never seen a young man more prepared for his ordination council than Nathan. Nathan's answers were absolutely amazing yesterday. He gave the scriptures for everything and expanded on it. And this is what I saw. that I have never seen in an ordination council before. This is without, there was no pride, and I really mean that. I don't sense that there was pride. Nathan didn't want to just answer the question. Nathan wanted to teach us the answer to the question. There was something that I've never seen before. It was just like, oh, that's a good question. Let me explain. Let me tell you what others think. Let me tell you what I believe the Bible teaches. And like every point, it was just like, wow, that was good stuff. I felt like a student yesterday. Now, I'm really, really careful because in a moment, I'm going to really share some things. Nathan, I think you have the spiritual gift of teaching. And I think you love to study. And God has given you a great mind. And you have great intellectual ability, far surpass the guy that's speaking to you right now. But I will tell you, Nathan, you need to be careful of pride. Right now, I don't sense it in your ministry. I think God gave you the wife that'll keep you humble. Praise God for Sam, you know. But Nathan, I am going to tell you, you can so easily, because of your intellectual prowessness, you can so easily make areas matters of pride. And you need to stay humble. So I got two ideas for you. Fight your pride with two things. Number one, fight your pride with constant depending trust on Him. Continue to be stretched, that you have to keep relying on Him. That'll keep you humble. If you get in a spot where you can just, after a while, I can handle all this, we're in trouble. And the cause of Christ is in trouble. Keep stretching yourself. Keep depending upon God. Don't stop. Don't be satisfied. Keep allowing God to put you in situations that will stretch you, that you have to depend on Him. I'm going to tell you that. And number two, I got a gift for you. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 13. There's one other thing. And knowing your spiritual gift of teaching, you need this gift. So you come on up here. Everyone else is going to turn to John 13. Come on up here, and I got something for you. What is it?
It's a towel.
Towel? And it's really what? Clean. Nathan, I want to encourage you about your greatest enemy's pride. And I'll tell you how you can stay from not being proud. Your job for the rest of your life in ministry is to get this towel dirty. That's what your job is. You get that towel dirty like Christ did in the upper room. And you dirty that towel by washing other people's feet. And you know what? Let your intellect only be surpassed by your servant spirit to do whatever and to go whatever. Look, if you would, with me. Stay up here for just a minute, Nathan. Look, if you would, with me at John chapter 13. This is the night before Jesus is going to be crucified. He knows exactly what's going to happen. He can reach up to his chin and feel the beard that in hours will be plucked out. He can look down at his hands during the dinner, the Passover meal, and feel the wrist that soon the nail's going to go in. He knows everything that's going to happen. He can put his hand on his back and feel it, where tomorrow it will be absolutely ripped to pieces by the morning. Jesus knows exactly what's going to happen in the hours to come. But I want you to see something. And Nathan, this is absolutely what I encourage you with tonight. The Bible says in verse number 2, and supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. And I want you to notice that Judas is in that upper room. What Jesus is about to do, he doesn't wait for Judas to leave. Look at verse number 3, and I want you to all see this. And this is imperative for you to understand tonight, Nathan. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands up to this point of his ministry, He has done everything that the Father has wanted. And now the Father has basically given it over to the Son. Basically said this, you're ordained. It's in your hands now. You're in authority. Basically, the Father has now given the Son authority. Notice the very first act of Jesus Christ after he's been given authority from the Father. Notice the very first thing he does. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God. He knows what's going to happen. The Father now says, it's yours, Son. Nathan, the very first thing that he does is what? Verse number 4, read it to me.
He rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself.
Yeah, and then did what with the towel?
And after that, he poured water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel or with the girded.
Folks, what is the very first thing that Jesus does after he's been ordained by the Father to carry out the work? The very first thing he does is he reaches down and gets a towel and begins to wash the disciples' feet. Nathan, you really got it up here. I think you're going to be a writer. I think you're going to do great things. I think you're going to have great messages. But I'll tell you, your greatest enemy in the ministry, I don't think it's going to be the devil. I think your greatest enemy in the ministry is going to be your pride. And I can't think of anything that will keep your pride down than start getting the towel dirty. Start serving the Lord. And be willing to do whatever. Everyone has value. He washes Judas's feet, knowing that Judas is about to go out. Everyone had value to Jesus. And there wasn't anything that he wasn't willing to do. I believe, Nathan, that if you're willing to get this dirty, God's going to make a great minister out of you. But it isn't all about teaching. It's also about serving. And it's about people. And it's about living for others and not for yourself. Thank you, Nathan. You can have a seat. Nathan, I think your greatest concern ought to be your personal walk with the Lord. I believe your greatest love ought to be your preaching. But your greatest enemy will be your pride. And Nathan, if you keep that dirty, if you keep that towel dirty, God will bless you mightily in the ministry. This is a banner day, Lighthouse. This is a day that one of your own is being called to the ministry, in the preaching ministry. You ought to be thankful. You ought to pray that Nathan keeps his personal walk. We talked about praying, not hazy. So tonight we gave you some things to pray for. Pray that Nathan will always taste before he gives out to his Sunday school class. That whatever he's studying, Lord, help my Sunday school teacher to be tasting what he's going to give us. You know what? Pray, Lord, keep Nathan's towel dirty. Keep Nathan's towel dirty, Lord. Keep him serving you. Keep him depending upon you. And then, Lord, may he stay close to you in his walk with you as well. Father, I know we're going to lay our hands upon Nathan in just a moment. I pray in Jesus' name that you'd be with Nathan. I pray, Father, that his personal walk, his private life with you, he would take heed to himself and to his doctrine. And then, Lord, I believe in a great way you'll take care of his ministry. Lord, I think his greatest love is preaching. I know he loves to study. Father, I pray that he'll always taste it before serving it. I pray, Father, that it'll always become a part of him. And that whenever Nathan preaches, there's a passion. I think Nathan's a pretty polished speaker, but may he always be known, not for his polish. May Nathan be known for his passion for you and for the word. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the way you created Nathan, and you have given Nathan some great abilities intellectually. Father, I pray that pride will never come in, that he won't come up with his own little ideas about the doctrine, that, Father, I pray that you'll keep my brother humble, and that, Lord, that he would humble himself by keeping his towel dirty, that, Lord, he would humble himself by staying close to you. So, Father, I know his spiritual gift is teaching, but I pray that his greatest practice will be getting his towel dirty. And, God, I think you'll use him in a mighty way. Lord, I thank you for the Walsh family. I thank you for a mom and dad and what they've invested. I thank you for Lighthouse Baptist Church. Lord, I thank you for the kingdom of Christ. For Lord, I think we got a preacher that you're going to use mightily. And I think this world will never be the same because of a young man and his wife that have surrendered to you. Lord, we dedicate Nathan and Sam to you. We pray in a mighty way that you will bless. And Lord, again, I pray for the third time tonight, would you bring more preachers, laborers, missionaries out of Lighthouse? And may Nathan stir that in others as well. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet just for a moment here. The Lord's spoken to your heart.